playing the song might become evident in just a moment here. All right, we have run into a NIMBY issue in the Gold Coast, and not in my backyard issue, with a potential marijuana dispensary license that is being applied for on Maple Street right off of the what is known affectionately around here as the Viagra Triangle, but it's technically Mariano Park. That's the Triangle Park there that sits in between Maple and Bellevue. Gibson's, Tavern on Rush, you've got Maple and Ash, all of those restaurants are all kind of around that area. And it's interesting because this is, you know, one of the, we've talked about this corner before, and we were very protective of it during the height of the close down part of the pandemic here over the months of April and May, because it's responsible for about $250 million in total revenue a year, that corner, that area, that park, that those businesses that surround it. And that is that's a big number. And Matt Neuberger is with us, and he is the president of the Mariano Park Advisory Board. I guess it's more distinguished than saying the Viagra Triangle Advisory Board, I suppose. And then besides, that's actually a brand name. Okay, now, what would be the problem here with a marijuana dispensary?
Thanks for having me on the show. First of all, I appreciate it. Well, I mean, there's more than one problem. The easiest problem, there are two easy problems. The first problem is it's 530 or 520 feet from a grade school, Ogden International School. And that's an enormous problem for the people that live here and send their children and walk their children to the school. You know, Pharmacon will tell you that, well, yes.
And Pharmacon is the company that wants this license?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Pharmacon will tell you that, you know, they're within the legal distance, which is 500 feet. But just so your listeners know, 30 feet is, in this day and age of social distancing, that's a line of only six people. Okay. So that's what they're playing with here, you know, a line of six people long, you know, is their buffer. You know, the second issue and another big issue is the congestion that it's going to create there.
Do they create congestion? I've seen a couple of these shops in the area that they have, like, parking lots and things like that. There's one in the medical district and all of that. But I don't know, like, the street side ones. Because that would be right down the street from, isn't there a hardware store right down the street? It's got a little cutout where people park there. This wouldn't have
For three cars. Yeah, no, this wouldn't. I don't think this would have a cutout. It wouldn't have a cutout. And that cutout is only for about three cars. So you have Maple and Ash, which is a very popular, very good restaurant. And you have a one-way street going east with cars parked on either side, which is basically making that street a one-car pass-through. If anyone has ever gone down that street on a Friday or Saturday night, if a Uber or Lyft stops there, the traffic's backed up. It takes you 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, under all circumstances, that's a congested area.
It's a very, very busy street. I mean, I don't know if these things, you know, create congestion by themselves, but it would create congestion where they want to have this one particularly.
So, all right, because I'm trying to figure it out, because I know that that would be an argument about valets at any of those restaurants when those opened, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you run into that. Police have been taking on the valets on all of those restaurants in the Triangle forever and ever and ever. Is there some? I mean, and I understand the idea about the schools, but I mean, you got, you know, some of those bars and restaurants, and these are some, as I mentioned, I don't want anything bad to happen to them. It's one of my favorite places to be on the planet Earth is in that little district. And these people, again, $250 million a year in revenue is built. And think about the jobs are built just on that corner alone, those two corners, if you will, because it's a triangle.
Well,
that's a big deal. But is there something else afoot here? Because I don't understand. You're hearing a lot of resistance from essentially people who are also bar owners.
Well, that's true. I mean, you have people that, you know, run these restaurants, that have built these restaurants into, as you say, $250 million revenue machines for the city. And, you know, they're concerned about a lot of things as well. I mean, you know, they're concerned about, first, talking about the valet.
Okay, Matt, hold on 1 second. Hold on. You're going to make a bigger, important point here. And I don't want to cut you short here on this point. So hold on 1 second for me, and we'll come right back. We're going to have Lauren explain the traffic and the weather. If you could actually do the traffic around the Viagra Triangle, that would be really good, too. I don't know if you have that. Just assume it's busy.
There's Chicago and the Real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
All right, we're talking about one of the most recognizable corners in Chicago, which is right there where Gibson's and Tavern on Rush and Maple and Ash and all of those restaurants all kind of come together there around Mariano Park is what that's called, that Triangle Park. It's Mariano's Park. And Matt Neuberger is the president of the Mariano Park Advisory Board. And there was a marijuana license that is being applied for right in the middle of that, right on that corner, essentially. And it appears that the folks, the residents, and the business owners don't want that. Am I being honest and truthful about that?
Oh, you're very honest and truthful. You know, when you talked about earlier about why the business owners may not want it, I mean, this is a neighborhood that happens to have restaurants in it. It was a neighborhood before a residential neighborhood before the restaurants were here. And the restaurants, Gibson's, Carmine's, Tavern, they did a yeoman's job in creating an environment for the neighbors here. You know, they're very involved in the community. They're very involved in the neighborhood. And, you know, they're an essential part. Yeah. You know, they're almost like family.
I understand that. So, but Rush Street, I mean, Matt, you and I both grew up down there.
Right.
That was always a little rough and tumble, especially in the 1980s. And I will give all the credit in the world, especially to the Gibson's Group, who were the pioneers in there, that made sure that they started to turn that around and made that a very enjoyable and a big tourist area for the people to come in and again to spend their money in droves in those restaurants and those bars and those little shops there. But that's the issue here is that it doesn't seem like a marijuana dispensary would necessarily not fit in with that.
Well, it's the marijuana dispensary says, and these are their figures, that they're going to service 1,000 people a day.
Wow.
Right? That's outrageous. And they were very proud of saying that, too, at the meeting. So this is not something that I'm making up. Servicing 1,000 people a day and telling me that there won't be lines, that there's not going to be congestion, that there won't be people waiting outside of the dispensary in the environment that we're living in now, mm-hmm. is nonsense. So these people are going to be, you know, whomever they are, what are they going to be doing? Where are they going to be wandering? What are they going to do after they get their product? Maybe enjoy it in the park where kids and families are enjoying themselves. So that's one of the big reasons, other than, you know, there's the school that's, you know, mm-hmm. 500 feet away. There are the families that are going to be around this. This is not some little store that's going to be open from 3 to 5. They're going to service 1,000 people a day.
Yeah. What are hours of those? I don't even know what the hours are for those businesses.
As far as I'm concerned, 1,000 people a day would mean you'd have to be open every single minute of the day. I have no idea.
That would be a lot of people. Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. I would guess that that's probably not an accurate number. But it's
that's their number.
Yeah, I understand. But I think they're trying to say that they're going to be good for the tax revenue base there. And I don't know. I mean, well, that's still yet to be seen. Depends on how many square feet and everything. How many square feet are they looking for there?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I do not know how big the store is. I'm going to guess it's a lot, you know, a Chicago lot, 25 mm-hmm. feet.
Got it. All right. Well,
yeah.
It's... this is very. We live in strange times, Matt.
Well, I mean, there's no question. It is weird.
Yeah,
it is weird. And
I just wonder, I go back and I'm very protective of that corner and that mm-hmm. area because of what it does for Chicago. It means a lot. Mm-hmm. It's been very safe compared to other places around the country, even, you know, restaurant and bar districts. I mean, I think it's safer than if you go to Milwaukee, it's a much safer situation down here than it would be up there. So this is really important. And I think you're going to get a lot of there may be pushback on both sides here. I just want to present both sides of this.
Sure, sure. I don't doubt that there will be. You know, they have an interest here. You know, a monetary interest. You know, we have an interest. You know, for the community and the children and the moms and dads. So, you know, that's how we feel about it. We really love the area. We're concerned about crime. You know, one person said the facility is almost like a rob in and rob out. You're coming with you're lining up with cash or credit cards, and you're coming out with a product that somebody wants to steal from you.
Right. Well, actually, you're only showing up with cash at the moment. I mean, that's part of the
Even if they bring credit cards, even if they bring a card, you know, that's better. I can steal your card, buy the weed, and then sell it later.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will. We'll see. What's the next determination on this, Matt?
Well, we're trying to get a continuance from the zoning board right now because the zoning board wants to have a Zoom meeting, which I think is unfair as well because a lot of the people in the neighborhood are older and they don't know how to use the technology to get into the Zoom meeting. They also don't know how long the zoning meeting will be and where our issue will be in the zoning meeting, you know, first case, last case. So will they have to wait for 5 hours? Or not. I'd much prefer this to be a face-to-face meeting with the zoning board. I don't know why they're doing this.
It is very interesting. The other piece of this argument is, I think on your side probably, is that this is the densest, that square mile, if you will, whether three-quarters of a mile in any direction there, is the densest part of Chicago in terms of numbers of people. And so you get there's so many residents and the issues of not in my backyard when you're talking about, you know, 250,000 residents in an area as opposed to 2,500 or 3,000 residents in an area is a very, very different issue. And most of those people are owners, you know, they're not renters. So that's another reason that whatever happens in that neighborhood becomes literally a federal case. So, Matt, we'll talk to you as we get closer to this, and we'll see what happens. Matt Neuberger, President of Mariana Park Advisory Board. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. All right, let's get a phone call in here really quickly. I think a lot of people are thinking what Bob is about to say. Bob, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is, I apologize, I missed where the actual location was.
Right in the triangle, essentially.
Oh, right in the triangle, it is dense. So, I mean, my question would be, are there liquor stores there, and what current models are successfully being used? You know, I frequent dispensaries, and they have applications, and you log in, and you are in a virtual waiting line, and it's safe, and there's social distancing. And people are made to stay in their vehicles. So, yeah, there would be
some congestion. Traffic. Oh, yeah. Well, it would be on Maple Street. We were just west of State Street. And that's a very tough street if you want to do car traffic on. That's for sure. But I would feel less than honest if I said that the Vagra Triangle is known for clean living, and we can't have this marijuana there. That seems to me to be disingenuous. I would laugh myself through that sentence. And so the idea that this is about the clean living aspect of it, I understand traffic. I understand that there's people that are worried that people are going to go smoke marijuana in the park. Well, in that little triangle park, there are two police cruisers parked on that park every single, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one's going to go. You can't smoke marijuana outside, right? It's not legal to do. So I don't think that would actually happen. But, you know, the problem is you are going to attract a lot of people. The question is it going to be a mix of people who are looking for people who are looking to take advantage of the people who are in line at that and looking for a mix of trouble? I don't know. I'm not 110% sure what it is, but you are you're a regular at these dispensaries and you've not seen a problem?
I've seen no problem, and like I said, there's apps on phones that you use, and that's how you wait in line. You're a virtual waiting room. You're not standing outside the dispensary. They don't allow that.
So you know what time to be there to pick up whatever it is that you're going to pick up or go in.
Right, yeah. They want you in and out of there, and it seems to be working, and I don't know if anybody is any seedier or questionable as opposed to going into a liquor store or a bar or any other place. I think the stigma is still attached to the use of cannabis, and I think that's really a big issue that needs to be overcome.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you. Love you for listening. All right. Coming up after the news, the bottom of the hour, we've got some really interesting, couple interesting guests here. Dr. Khalilla Gates has been with us before, pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern. We're going to talk about the COVID tests. A lot of confusion now about the COVID tests and COVID antibodies. And then Dr. Allison Arwady, who is commissioner of Chicago Department of Public Health, see her on television all the time talking about this, a very deft spokesperson for the city and what the city's needs are and what the city's citizens' needs are, the city of Chicago, as it pertains to battling COVID-19. Really a very interesting conversation coming your way about what we here need from the state and the federal government in terms of increasing the testing. We're going to talk to her about all of that. Then in the 5 o'clock hour, Ben Bradley will be joining us and Troy Murray in the 6 o'clock hour talking about the return of the Blackhawks. All that coming your way on the Rokan Show. But first, here's news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's 4:30.